If there's one thing that we love in the world, it's somebody that just speaks common sense. And when it comes to parenting, this woman does it. Maggie Dent, welcome to the studio.
Hello, guys.
Oh, good to have you in here, Maggie.
You are the saving grace for so many parents. Mm-hmm. Because we get told too much these days of what's right and what's wrong, you know. And
drowning.
You're drowning, aren't you? In other people's advice.
Oh, and it made it complicated. Do you know we've been breathing a very, very long time when we had loins cloths?
Yeah.
We have an iPad and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, but now there's rules. There's rules for everything on how to discipline your kids. You can't do this. Everybody's come up with this new age way of teaching your own children.
It seems to be vastly different to the way we were raised.
Oh, and everything used to be wrong in the past.
Oh, politically incorrect too, because you're not allowed to talk about some of it. And some of the simplest things is we've got this aversion to letting your kids get dirty.
Yeah.
Holy poop. If you want to have your kids healthy with strong immune systems, they've got to eat some dog hair and dirt and poop. And
most of my photos from my past in Kalgoorlie, we were filthy. One of my favourites is me and my brother sitting on my nana's lounge and we've just got dirt smeared all over our faces. And that's how we were all the time.
So what happens now? Because parenting's got quite competitive, so accidentally and all sorts of reasons. But so that would be, you'd probably have a mum looking across going,
getting judged, judging parents.
Yeah, so right. The judging is what's really, the sisterhood's got a bit nasty, and it's one of my big jobs is to say, you know, we've got to relax because there's no perfect.
Yep.
There's no perfect parent, no perfect kid. And when we try and put those pressures on us, we do our own heads in, and we've got mums, you know, that lay in bed going, oh, no, they didn't eat broccoli today. You know, like they're just, they're doing their own heads in. And, and kids are actually meant to get outside and away from you for a while so you can chill and eat Tim Tams.
Oh, yeah. I just read an article. I think it's about PFB, which is Precious Firstborn Syndrome, where a lot of mothers are freaking out because
organic cotton and everything.
They're not living near their mothers and their grandparents anymore, so they can't just go there and get the real answer. Instead, they're reading online forums and people are saying, yeah, you're right, your clothes have to be made of a certain
thing. And they Google and they can't have a preservative. 15 different answers, and that's one of the things why when I started looking at people coming up to me after seminars going, gee, I wish I'd known that when I started breeding.
Yeah.
And I thought, didn't you get that from somebody? So, you know, that was kind of the big driver of let me get some of those things out. Because if you know some of the things, especially like one I wish I'd known because I thought I was a lousy mum too, like most others. I just wish I'd known that healthy babies cry a bloody lot.
Absolutely.
So we don't need to pick them up the moment they whimper.
But there's crying. They can cry perfectly healthy and there can be nothing you can console them with sometimes.
Yeah.
But you're not lousy parents. And that's what we need to reassure you, that those things are developmentally, they're just getting oxygen in their lungs and all sorts of good things are happening.
Maggie, political correctness. In particular at school sometimes, we have, during a number of years, we've had people ring up and things have to be, they just completely changed at schools. You can't do this because someone might be offended.
The parcel. Everyone has to get a prize.
And the bar black sheep thing is the latest one, which is ludicrous.
Why are we reading so much into everything?
Yeah, so what we're doing, and it is like some of us did have tough childhoods and we don't want our children to be inflicted by that pain, but what we don't understand is that moments of bumps and bruises and disappointment build our resilience.
Mm.
So my big pet hate in all my seminars is pass the parcel, and it's got to go back to one prize or we're creating wimps.
Yes.
Absolute wimps. And then I get really worried too about the inviting everyone in the room. You know, look, some of us didn't get invited to something and it sucked.
You're not friends to some things. The end.
So and not all parents want to throw a party for 28 children either.
Well, I remember a pass the parcel not that long ago that someone told me about where the parcel was so big for fit prizes they had to have an adult between the children to pass the parcel. Well, get out the road. It's just about
stupid.
The kids.
Yes.
You have to roll the parcel. You have to change the whole game.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But we need to validate that disappointment's part of life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my biggest mission is we overprotect our kids. We actually disable them to be strong later. And we want them to run out the door at the end and give us the bird, don't they? And go, woohoo!
So being told no is not a scary thing.
No. Actually, children who have boundaries and no are a lot easier in our classrooms.
Yep.
And a lot easier to be married to one day. Seriously, if you've never had it, you know, that's
a good point.
Not
easy.
Yeah.
If you're forever disappointed as a child because you are thinking that you're better than what you are at various things, how do then as a parent, you come in there and lift them up because they're continually getting knocked back.
Yeah, and that's reflecting a little bit about temperament. See, that's another part of my new book is to write about you don't always get what you think you're going to get, you know. you know, when a baby lands. We don't know what they've got. What, you know, genetics is funny. You can bring in some knobs, genes from a few generations back who's not very good.
Yeah.
And you don't know. So on the spectrum, you can have these kids, I call them roosters at one end and lambs at the other.
Yep.
So, you know, the narcissistic pup up here who doesn't want to share and who's noisy and doesn't want to go to sleep and embarrasses you in front of you. You name it. They exhaust the heck out of you, but they're strong. Feasty.
Yeah.
And at the other end, we've got lambs who are kind of a bit wimpy and whiny, and you know, you can't lift your eyebrow, you break their heart. So, our job is to put a bit of rooster in the lamb and some lamb in the rooster.
And sit them somewhere in the middle.
And make some turducken.
Yeah.
Maggie Dent's book is called 9 Things: A Back to Basics Guide to Calm, Common Sense, Connected Parenting, Birth Till 8, which is everybody you know who's having a kid, buy them a copy because it will get them through the tough times,
can
won't it, Maggie?
Extend it to these blokes because they're kind of a bit under 8, aren't you?
Mentally.
Late brain development. So technically it could be wider.
So wise, everyone says it.
So the same principles apply.
Hey, Maggie's written a whole lot of books to the point where she's nearly going to have her own section in the library. You can go and check out all of her stuff at maggiedent.com.
Now, we promise that you could ask this Oracle of Wisdom a question. Kate's in Shelley. Morning, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Kate.
Hey, what do you want to ask Maggie?
I've got a lovely little 4-year-old boy child, and he's a bit of a lamb, but he doesn't listen, which I know that every mother of a 4-year-old will go, yeah, well, welcome to the club. but he takes it to a whole new level. Our particular biggest problem has been for about a year, and that's breakfast. And he will sit there and he will stare at the wall and he will stare at everything else except his breakfast, and he just won't eat it. Right. And it's a fight
every day
morning.
You have this battle.
It's the same in my house every morning. I'll get a text shortly, actually.
Yeah.
That's what happens every morning.
Okay, there's a couple of things going on here, Kate, my love. The first thing is you've got a boy. Now, we know that boys' brains process information very differently.
Yeah.
And so if you haven't worked it out, your husband doesn't listen very well either, then that's a problem. So what we know is quite often boys don't know you're talking to them. So if they're picking their nose, they're really busy. If they're doing a puzzle or they're watching telly and you might be talking to them and they're not just, they're already busy in that room. So, but what you're doing is also putting him down to do eat breakfast under your rules. So you're taking away his power to be a little warrior, which is under my rules, or when can I win? So I'd let him go hungry for a bit, really, is a good idea.
Well, this is it, but he's just constantly hungry all day. I thought, well, sod it, I won't give you breakfast. But
obviously not going to starve him. But we do actually know that no boy will starve, and it's one of the tips I do say for any mums of boys. If you're going anywhere where you'd like your boy to behave well, feed them in the car. Because the first thing that makes a boy angry is hunger. So if he's not really angry, I'd be saying he just doesn't necessarily have that great need for the amount of food us mums often think they need to have. We're always worried they're going to starve. So
soon as we get home, it'll be on. I'm hungry. Yeah. I'm constantly hungry.
So what I want
hungry.
You to do is get used to sort of glad wrapping a plate full of decent food. If he doesn't eat it for breakfast, say, here, mate, when you're hungry, here it is. Off you go. Go play. So he goes off to do what he wants to do, and you've just stopped the fight. Why keep fighting over something that's not going to win? But also, eye contact, always. Make sure he's seeing you when you say, sweetheart, there's your breakfast. When you're ready, you come up and get it within your time frame. So you've allowed a little bit of autonomy, but you've not put up the wall because he'll have to push against
it. And then if he's hungry later on, will that land on him that's the ramifications of me not eating?
And the second thing is try not to use too many words, Mum, because too many words, information overload, they just glaze over. You've seen that look also.
And that never stops, exactly.
Yeah, and then they can't hear anything.
Yeah,
and that means, God, any minute now I'm going to get busted again. And what he's actually really yearning for is your love and your tenderness. So tickle him on the back and say, you go and play, you come back when you're ready for your brekkie. Okay?
Sorry, what were you saying? I was picking my nose.
So, Maggie, can I just elaborate on that? Yes. So if the child was a going to school age, so let's say about 8 or 9, and they were doing exactly the same thing, they weren't eating their breakfast, if they missed it, bad luck, and they had to go to school, then they learn from that the next
day?
Absolutely,
I reckon. Let them go hungry. I know it sounds mean, but what we're doing, I see mummies running around with little, you know, five different breakfasts because they think they're going to starve. One of the things the nutritionists are telling us, we've got a generation and a lot of children who can't tell the difference between thirst and hunger.
Okay.
And we're making them eat when they're not hungry, because some children aren't hungry when we are. Some of them don't get hungry till 10 or 11.
You experience it yourself. Sometimes you're at home and you think, I'm really hungry. If you go and have a bloody glass of water, then you're not.
But we're told that kids need to have their breakfast in order to be able to learn when they get to school.
Yeah,
that's what we're bombarded
with. Absolutely. So basically that same thing is when they get to school, they might want to nibble something out of their lunchbox. We give them reminders.
So chuck something extra kids, in the lunchbox, maybe you know, a piece of fruit or something like that. That
the
they're
brain,
easily.
The dehydrated brain is our bigger worry.
Yeah, right.
A lack of water is the biggest worry for fuzzy brains, just in case you haven't
watched that. That's me, mate. I've been dehydrated for years.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So let's go to Marie Claire in Fremantle. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Love your magazine, Murray.
Oh, thank you.
What do you need help with, Murray Claire?
I just want a little bit of information about telling a fib or a little white lie, and if that is okay or if we should try to push for the truth. I've got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. Well, yeah. I've got my little girl, and she, you know, it's just the typical, it wasn't me, I didn't do it, it was Mr. Ghost, it was, you know, and I just want to know if I should just let something slide or each time always say, no, it's important to tell me what is the truth, or what should we do?
Yeah. See, sometimes I would be a terrible parent sometimes because I think if my child has invented Mr. Ghost, I would think that was hilarious.
Because that's a sign of creativity as well, isn't it?
That's brilliant.
I'm bringing you some really good news, girlfriend, and that is that it's actually quite a complex thing to tell fibs, even those little fibs.
Yeah.
The very fact that she's imagined a character, that she can blame a character, I'd be going, that's actually a good way to go, is that we know what the truth is, but is it bigger deal enough to go psycho at? What we need to let our children know, they learn to tell fibs off us. We tell fibs, there's two fibs, black fibs and white fibs.
Yep.
So white fibs are when I tell fibs that avoid me hurting others.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And black fibs are when I'm just making sure I don't get hurt.
Okay.
So she's started to sort of work out how to do that in a creative way. But at the same time, if it's a big enough issue, you're going to need to sit down, not growly bear at her, because that sets it up to be something really big and scary, is we sit down and we explain the difference between them. And you might sort of say that, you know, when I say to Daddy, does my dress look big, you know, my bum look big in this? So that's a white lie he's going to tell. Mm. Yeah, so that's okay because he doesn't want to hurt my feelings. However, if something's been taken or stolen, that is a different one, and we need us to be honest. And honesty is something, if you can reward it by holding them and loving them when they come and tell you the disasters, they will come with the disasters when they're adolescents.
Yeah, right.
And that's funny because she uses that word a lot. She uses disaster.
You may have a drama queen.
Does she say that? I love melodramatic children.
You may have a drama queen happening there, and that's already on the gene pool. So good luck with that one, because she's going to turn things. She's only 3. How exciting is that? A creative, intelligent child at 3. Well done.
Well, she goes to Bold Park, Maggie.
Oh,
so
my God. She's creative.
Right, well, you're going to get her book 9 things
go
as
Bold
well.
Go Bold Park.
So Bold Park go is Bold a, Park. A school in Wembley.
I'm a patron saint.
Which is
fantastic school.
More about creative learning. Is that a fair way to describe it?
It's very student engaged. It's very committed to learning with nature.
How is it for your daughter, Mari?
Yeah.
It is Murray Claire. Thank you, Nathan. Murray, and it's brilliant. Yeah. She loves it. Yeah. Couldn't recommend it.
It's a wild space for young children to be able to explore. So they're not over contained, and they're allowed to get dirty, and they're allowed to explore the world in a really hands-on sensory way.
Okay. Doesn't it sound awesome?
It is brilliant. I fell in love with it in the minute I saw it and just want to get in the mud pit.
Wow.
Nice.
I love a good mud pit. Good on you, Murray Claire. We've got Maggie Dent with us here. And if you've been listening to her thinking, hey, I want more of this wisdom, well, good news, everybody. She's doing a couple of talks. There's one tonight in Sorrento that's sold out. Wednesday, Melville Primary School, and on Thursday, one down in Port Bouvard as well. The details at maggiedent.com if you want to buy tickets to go and see her talk. And you do.
Absolutely. We'll go to Karen from Duncraig.
Hi, Karen.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Karen. Now, Karen, what's your question?
I have 2 sons. One's 9 and one's 5. They're like Incredible Hulk children. My 4-year-old was 4'2" and almost 40 kilos at that age. So they're very big boys. One of the problems I've got is, especially with my 9-year-old now, whenever we're out at, say, a fun station or somewhere where there's other children, they always sort of look at him as the tower of strength to take down. And I've always taught them don't retaliate because of their size. But it's now getting to the situation with the 9-year-old. We go anywhere, he comes back crying to me because another child who's smaller attacks him or hits him. I'm not too sure what to do, because I don't want to obviously teach the children violence, but I want them to stand up for themselves. But with other kids their size, it's like a Rottweiler and a Silky Terrier.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
God, that's tough, like reverse, isn't it?
That's really interesting. And this is what's coming up with. We're noticing what other children are watching a lot of on their television is actually what shapes their play. So if a child is spending a lot of time watching those programs where that's exactly what's modelled as normal,
yes,
those little kids are thinking, this is the way I'm a big hero if I pull down the big
correct.
One.
Correct.
Of course, none of this happens, does it, Macca, at a football club or anything like that? None of that happens ever out there in the sporting field. So in other words, there's some serious boy warrior stuff going on here that says, if I can bring down the big one, I know I'm a big hero.
Mm.
So your beautiful son, once again, I would probably look at, can you find other environments that he can go to while this all happens? Because very soon he's going to turn to a great big huge adolescent, and seriously, things are going to iron out there. I can give you the tip because a bit of testosterone. You are doing all the right things by saying, please don't fight back. The standing and saying, look, this isn't okay. Pushing with the hands, go away,
yep.
All those sorts of things are really, really to be admired. But I'd be saying you're doing the right thing about building what I call the inner character of a child. So as long as he's not getting really angry, because what we find if boys who are picked on too much get angry, they bury the anger, it comes out as rage later. They snap later.
Yeah. So. I think I say that, Maggie, because my friend, one of my really close mates, he's a big bloke and he always has been, like not fat, like big as in muscly.
Yep.
And people target him when he's now as an adult out in pubs because of
his
strength
size
and his intimidation factor. Yep. And he's been in a lot of fights because he's had to protect himself.
Exactly.
And it's terrible. This sounds like what's going to happen to Karen's
son. It happens the same with celebrity guys, and that's exactly what happens all the time.
Yes, they're targeted.
You're having those conversations with him. The other thing is, remind the little brother one day he's going to be big too, so it's two brothers together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, look out for one another.
You know, we're standing side by side here, so go pick someone else. Common thing, but when you're having the conversations that are actually about what's going on, the people with the problem are, you know, those ones. But we've got to look at what our kids are watching on telly. Because some of the programs not only demonstrate physical aggression, they also demonstrate relational aggression, put downs, name calling, and exclusion. Yeah. So be careful of Clifford the Red Dog and Arthur and SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh,
they teach our kids how to be very, very nasty.
Oh,
so, yeah, absolutely. Okay. There's new research out showing that.
Really?
They just download it. Kids think it's how, you know, that's not entertainment to them.
Is Peppa Pig fine? She just farts and has a great time.
Yeah, and Dora's all right. And there's a few others that are okay, but you've got to pick the ones your kids are watching because it shapes how they behave.
How Skylanders?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's just come into a big time, Nathan.
Yeah.
So I don't know much about it, but I've been hit by the kids about this Skylanders.
Okay, I'll go check it out and give you some feedback.
Thanks, mate.
Hey, Maggie, just winding up, I know you've got to go. Do you get into debates with people on new age parenting? Because we see new age parenting on the news all the time.
Sure.
And what you're telling us and we're talking about is back in our day.
Well, and especially at the moment, there's a new thing just came out recently, lawnmower parents, which are parents that are running, steamrolling over
the
other
way
children.
For their kids.
And they don't care who they do it, so their child is the most important.
I guess my concern is I think every parent's doing what they think is right. So I hate labels at any point in time. But what I'm finding is I'm getting more and more parents coming to the seminars because they feel good because the times they have to be mean, they're feeling good about the mean, the boundaries and the no.
Yeah.
And I'm reminding them about the loving, which is having fun, and the connecting. So at the end of the day, they walk out and go, you know, I can tweak a few things and I need to step back a bit if I want my kid to build resilience.
Yeah.
But that every single one of us is doing the best we can. And, that, you know, it's a world drowned in information and opinions.
Yes, and there's more now than ever. Yeah.
I get annoyed with, you know, some of the celebrities on TV who've only got two children under six giving advice on parenting. You don't know how you've done it until they're in their 20s.
Oh, yeah. You're wrong.
You know?
Maybe all parents should have some empathy for each other.
Empathy and compassion.
It's
and
not a competitive sport.
Look up, you know, come together and help each other.
Yep.
You know,
and it's okay for your kids to be disappointed,
yeah.
bored, you know,
cry
all
like
of those
heck.
Things. Yeah, that's right.
No
don't worry. And hurt, all of that's okay.
No more fibs.
Yep. No. Yeah, excellent. Good to have you in, Maggie. You're an absolute bloody legend.
Pleasure.
The book is 9 Things, and she's got a heap of other books too. Check out all the info you need on where she's appearing and all the books she's written at maggiedent.com. Thank you so much for coming in, Maggie.
My pleasure.
Good girl. We've got Maggie Dent with us here.
Absolutely. We'll go to Karen from Duncraig.
Hi, Karen.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Karen.
Now, Karen, what's your question?
I have two sons. One's 9 and 1's 5. They're like incredible Hulk children. My 4-year-old was 4'2" and almost 40 kilos at that age.
Heaven.
So they're very big boys. One of the problems I've got is, especially with my 9-year-old now, whenever we're out at, say, a fun station or somewhere where there's other children, they always sort of look at him as the tower of strength to take down. And I've always taught them don't retaliate because of their size. But it's now getting to the situation with the 9-year-old, we go anywhere, he comes back crying to me because another child who's smaller attacks him or hits him. I'm not too sure what to do because I don't want to obviously teach the children violence, but I want them to stand up for themselves. But with other kids their size, it's like a Rottweiler and a Silky Terrier.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
That's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And this is what's coming up with. We're noticing what other children are watching a lot of on their television is actually what shapes their play. So if a child is spending a lot of time watching those programs where that's exactly what's modelled as normal,
yes,
those little kids are thinking, this is the way I'm a big hero if I pull down the big one.
Correct.
Correct.
Of course, none of this happens, does it, Macca, at a football club or anything like that? None of that happens ever out there in the sporting field. So in other words, there's some serious boy warrior stuff going on here that says, if I can bring down the big one, I know I'm a big hero. So your beautiful son, once again, I would probably look at, can you find other environments that he can go to while this all happens? Because very soon he's going to turn to a great big huge adolescent. And seriously, these things are going to iron out there. I can give you the tip because a bit of testosterone. You are doing all the right things by saying, please don't fight back. The standing and saying, look, this isn't okay. Pushing with the hands, go away.
Yep.
All those sorts of things are really, really to be admired. But I'd be saying you're doing the right thing about building what I call the inner character of a child. So as long as he's not getting really angry, because what we find if boys who are picked on too much get angry, they bury the anger. It comes out as rage later. They snap later.
Yeah. So. I think I say that, Maggie, because my friend, one of my really close mates, he's a big bloke and he always has been, like not fat, like big as in muscly. Yep. And people target him when he's now as an adult out in pubs because of
his
strength
size
and his intimidation factor. Yep. And he's been in a lot of fights because he's had to protect himself.
Exactly.
And it's terrible. This sounds like what's going to happen to Karen's
happens
son.
The same with celebrity guys, and that's exactly what happens
all
the time.
They're targeted.
You're having those conversations with him. The other thing is, remind the little brother one day he's going to be big too, so it's two brothers together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, look out for one another.
You know, we're standing side by side here, so go pick someone else. Common thing, but when you're having the conversations that are actually about what's going on, the people with the problem are, you know, those ones. But we've got to look at what our kids are watching on telly. Because some of the programs not only demonstrate physical aggression, they also demonstrate relational aggression, put downs, name calling, and exclusion. Yeah. So be careful of Clifford the Red Dog and Arthur and SpongeBob SquarePants. They teach our kids how to be very, very nasty.
Absolutely. Okay.
There's new research out showing that.
Really?
They just download it. Kids think it's how, you know, that's not entertainment to them.
Is Peppa Pig fine? She just farts and has a great time.
Yeah, and Dora's all right. And there's a few others that are okay, but you've got to pick the ones your kids are watching because it shapes how they behave.
How Skylanders?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's just come into a big time, Nathan.
Yeah.
So I don't know much about it, but I've been hit by the kids about this Skylanders.
Okay, I'll go check it out and give us some feedback.
Hey, Maggie, just winding up, I know you've got to go. Do you get into debates with people on new age parenting? Because we see new age parenting on the news all the time.
Sure.
And what you're telling us and we're talking about is back in our day.
Well, and especially at the moment, there's a new thing just came out recently, lawnmower parents, which are parents that are running, steamrolling over
the
other
way
children.
For their kids.
And they don't care who they do it, so their child is the most important.
I guess my concern is I think every parent's doing what they think is right. So I hate labels at any point in time. But what I'm finding is I'm getting more and more parents coming to the seminars because they feel good because the times they have to be mean, they're feeling good about the mean, the boundaries and the no.
Yeah.
And I'm reminding them about the loving, which is having fun, and the connecting. So at the end of the day, they walk out and go, you know, I can tweak a few things and I need to step back a bit if I want my kid to build resilience.
Yeah.
But that every single one of us is doing the best we can. And, that, you know, we just, it's a world drowned in information and opinion.
Yes, and there's more now than ever. Yeah.
I get annoyed with, you know, some of the celebrities on TV who've only got two children under six giving advice on parenting. You don't know how you've done it until they're in their 20s.
Oh, yeah. You're wrong.
You know?
Maybe all parents should have some empathy for each other.
Empathy and compassion.
It's
and
not a competitive sport.
Look up, you know, come together and help each other.
Yep.
You know,
and it's okay for your kids to be disappointed,
yeah.
bored, you know,
cry
all
like
of those
heck.
Things. Yeah, that's right.
No
don't worry. And hurt, all of that's okay.
No more fibs.
Yep. No, yeah, excellent. Good to have you in, Maggie. You're
thanks,
an absolute bloody legend.
Pleasure.
The book is 9 Things, and she's got a heap of other books too. Check out all the info you need on where she's appearing and all the books she's written at maggiedent.com. Thank you so much for coming in, Maggie.
My pleasure.
Good girl. It's